If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike Roizen. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. Stay Well is our theme. For us, our theme is that you get a do-over. It's not that hard if you know what to do, and we teach you here what to do. We have a question on the email line that I'm going to ask right after Bridget's segment, probably at the bottom of the hour. I use a water filter that attaches to my sink's faucet, but I hear an under-the-sink reverse osmosis filter is much better. Do I really need to invest in one, and how safe is bottled water? And that's Dave L. in Cleveland. Dave L. in Cleveland, thank you for sending an email from our own hometown, where it is an absolutely gorgeous day today. Bridget, you've got some favorite stories. Gary Ginsburg isn't here today, so instead of Ginsburg's What's Toxic, What's Not segment, we have Bridget's favorites. So,
Bridget,
what's your favorite?
Okay, so I have three favorite stories this week, all from different areas of health. The first on actively commuting to work. So the researchers were from the UK, and they found that commuting to work by active modes of transportation via walking or cycling, in addition to public modes of transportation, which was the surprising part, were both linked to lower body weight and body fat composition compared to the people that were using private transportation. And the researchers looked at about 7,500 adults from the UK, and they found that the men who commuted via public or active modes of transportation had a BMI score that was about 1 point lower than the people that were privately transported, and that equates to a difference of about 3 kilograms, or just over 6 pounds of body weight. And then the women who commuted via public or active transportation had a BMI score that was almost 1 point lower. It was 0.7 points lower than the people that had private transportation, and that equates to about 2.5 kilograms for an average weight woman, about 5.5 pounds. So the takeaway is to consider commuting via cycling or walking to work, and if that's not possible, then a good alternative would be public transportation, because we see that there's a benefit to doing that as well.
Now, Bridget, before you go any further, this is in Great Britain, and it's always, you know, in the United States, we have a reverse, if you will, socioeconomic status weight. That is, the weight of our people at the lower end of our socioeconomic status is higher, and consequently, one would think if their weight is higher, they usually would not drive. We would usually take public transportation, whereas the people who drive are the wealthier in America. Did the article comment at all about socioeconomic status, or did they factor that out, or is Great Britain different? And maybe it is that the wealthy can walk or bike to work, whereas the everybody who isn't quite that wealthy has to drive, and because I understand real estate is really expensive in England.
Well, I didn't look into the socioeconomic status, but I will say that after living in D.C. and seeing how many people use the public transportation, it's much different than somewhere like Cleveland, where people that are of higher socioeconomic status are always using private modes of transportation, that it seems like in D.C. it was mixed socioeconomic status people that were commuting via public transportation. That was from my own observation, not from...
Go to second story.
Okay, the second story is about sunscreen, which I thought was very interesting. The report looked at the amount of teenagers that are using sunscreen when they're in the sun, and they found that high school students are using less sunscreen compared to in 2001. In 2001, about 67.7% of the high school students reported using sunscreen, and that dropped to about 56.1% in 2011. Despite the increasing rates of skin cancer that are occurring, which is pretty scary. So I think that there's a definite need to educate children and teenagers on the risks associated with overexposure to the sun, and then also to get them to understand that it doesn't mean that using sunscreen is going to prevent them from tanning. I was just in Costa Rica with three teenagers, and all of them refused to put sunscreen on until I told them that they can still get tan if they have sunscreen on, but it will prevent them from burning. And I also tried to encourage hats.
So one of the things that's interesting about this is it takes about 30 years for the cancers to show up. But this really means that we may get a much more defigured, if you will, population, because the cancers of the skin can really be quite defiguring when they cut them out. So I urge everybody listening to get their kids, to get them, to get their grandkids. It's only when you become over 80 that you can wear, can you go without sunscreen. And of course, by then, you're more sensitive to the sun, and most people wear sunscreen or high intensity clothes. Most clothes, by the way, the typical T-shirt is an SPF 6, so it doesn't have much sun-blocking property. Best sunscreen is what Dr. Perry tells us to use. You can go to Dr. Perry's, P-E-R-R-Y-S, .com. I think that's his website. Dr. Perry's is a micronized zinc oxide that is very good at, that's the ideal, a micronized zinc oxide as a sunblock. Put it on so that you use an ounce on your body. That's pretty thickly put on, but that's how it's calculated for its protective ability, so use an ounce. Okay, Bridget, now that you've told us some bad things, tell it, and obviously you told us some good things about the transportation, what's the next story about?
Okay, so this one is maybe good for people that don't eat breakfast. A new story came out that looked at two recent studies from the University of Alabama and the University of Bath, and they found that eating breakfast in the morning may not be as important as a lot of medical doctors and the nutrition experts have made it seem. The two different studies, one was from the University of Alabama, and they looked at 300 volunteers that were trying to lose weight. Half of them skipped breakfast, and then they had others to eat breakfast and continue their current dietary habits. After 16 weeks, they found that no one had lost any significant amount of weight and that there was no difference between the people that ate breakfast or skipped breakfast. And then the second study had 33 participants that were also randomly assigned to eat or skip breakfast. And after 6 weeks, they had their weight, their resting metabolic rates, their cholesterol, and blood sugar measured. And they found that there was really no difference in the people that ate breakfast or didn't eat breakfast. The only difference that they found is in the second study, the people had to wear activity monitors, and they found that the people that ate breakfast seemed to move around more in the morning, that they burned almost 500 more calories from just light intensity movement than the people who skipped breakfast. So the researchers concluded that it might not be necessary for you to eat breakfast if you don't like to eat breakfast, and one of the researchers admitted to not eating breakfast himself, and that sparked his interest in looking at it. So it's controversial because it's against what a lot of recommendations say. So the study found that breakfast may not be important for weight loss.
And of course the hazard of that study is it is a short-term study. It isn't but it did randomly allocate people to breakfast or no breakfast. So very interesting data talking about a myth that breakfast is the most important meal of the day and for weight loss and for controlling your weight. Maybe not. Maybe it is how you eat the calories and the total calories you eat. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. When we get back, we're going to talk about the water filter question that Dave asked, as well as another set of the best stories of the week. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Health on RadioMD.com. Stay well.